I'd like to begin my remarks by reading from Acts, the 9th chapter, verses 36 through 43. I'm going to read from the RSV, Acts 9, verses 36 through 43. Now there was at Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he had come, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. Then turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. The name Tabitha is an Aramaic word signifying a female gazelle. Luke gives the word Dorcas as the Greek equivalent. The word Dorcas in the Greek carries the thought of beauty signifying a gazelle. It suggests the gentleness, timidity, and the bright, sparkling eye of the gazelle or antelope. From its loveliness, the word Dorcas was frequently employed as a proper name for women. Most likely the interpretation as here given is but an echo of the remarks made by others regarding her and how well her character answered to her name. We do not know if she was physically beautiful. However, the account shows that she had a beautiful character. While Peter was at the neighboring town of Lydda, Dorcas died. And as I just read, the disciple sent an urgent message to the apostle, begging him to come to them without delay. And when he arrived, Peter found the deceased already prepared for burial and laid out in an upper chamber where she was surrounded by the recipients and the tokens of her charity. This scenario follows the example of Jesus in the house of Jairus. Dorcas is called a disciple in Acts 9:36, the only place in the New Testament where the feminine form is used. She seems to have had some wealth and also to have been a leader in the Christian community. Dorcas was beloved for the manner in which she used her position and her means. The scriptural record indicates that Dorcas was full of good works and acts of charity. She worked to relieve the temporal necessities of the needy and the poor. This shows that she had a big heart. Dorcas was eminent for the activities and generosities of the Christian character. When I think of Dorcas, I am reminded of the following words written in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Peter wrote, "Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that some, although they do not obey the word, may be won without a word, by the behavior of their wives when they see your reverent and chaste behavior. Let not yours be the outward adorning with braiding of hair, decoration of gold, and the wearing of fine clothing, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable jewel of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Dorcas was a noble follower of Jesus. Brother Russell wrote that she was a burning and shining light for the Lord in that vicinity. She served the Lord, his brethren, and all needing help according to the best of her ability. Dorcas is a good example of Paul's instructions found in Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Once again, I'll use the RSV. Paul said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." That Dorcas was full of good works and acts of charity, or if you read the Authorized Version, it uses the word alms deeds. That Dorcas was such a person is a fine commendation. Dorcas was apparently a woman of means and education, and if her name represented her appearance, then some would suggest she was physically and naturally beautiful. But this woman was famed for a beauty and a grace entirely separate and distinct from whatever she possessed of these qualities naturally. Hers was the beauty of a meek and quiet spirit, full of love and helpfulness. She assisted the poor, particularly widows, who as a class at that time were apt to be in a very trying position, especially if they were impoverished. Dorcas had been in the habit of helping the poor with garments and probably assisting them also with words of encouragement and helpfulness. Under these circumstances, it is not strange that her death should have produced sorrow, especially among the beneficiaries of her charities and among the numerous friends which a beautiful, Christ-like spirit of this kind is sure to attract. Evidently, Dorcas appreciated the fact that the more good we do to others, the more goodness we have in ourselves. She was a producer whose work made the world richer. She was not simply an idle consumer. Dorcas is only mentioned in the 9th chapter of Acts. However, she has perpetuated her memory and work in many spiritual daughters. All who have the Spirit of the Lord, which Dorcas had, and which she so nobly exemplified, will surely still find opportunities for laying down their lives some way or other in the service of the household of faith. As the apostle says in 1 John 3:16, we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Our covenant is not one of self-preservation, but one of self-sacrifice. It is true that we are looking for and hoping for a life eternal and glorious as spiritual beings. However, the terms and conditions upon which we are scripturally hoping to attain that perfect and new life, those terms are that we shall sacrifice what remains of this present earthly life. While our chief service under present conditions is the ministry of the spiritual food, spiritual drink, and spiritual clothing to the household of faith, yet nevertheless we are to remember that to the extent of our abilities and opportunities, we are to do good unto all men. Every one of the Lord's saints should be recognized by his or her friends, colleagues, classmates, neighbors, and family as a kind and generous person, whether he or she has dollars to give or only pennies. Of kind words, at least, the disciple of Jesus should be noted as a giver, remembering that it is more blessed, it's more godlike to give than to receive. And those who lack in terms of this world's goods, so that they have little or nothing with which to minister in a temporal way to the necessities of the saints or others, these are not to forget that they have the still more precious, more valuable, more helpful, and more cheerful consolations of the spirit of the truth and kindness to dispense to such as are in any need. All of the Lord's people should strive to cultivate these Dorcas qualities. By so doing, they will become more and more beautiful and graceful in the eyes of their Lord, as well as in the eyes of the world. At one time, a very beautiful and costly monument to Dorcas was erected on the outskirts of Joppa. It had a fountain at which many weary ones refreshed themselves. The narrative of Dorcas' good works and Christ-likeness, like the waters of a fountain, have come down through the centuries, encouraging, refreshing, and stimulating God's people. Apparently, Dorcas took sick and died suddenly. At about the time that others of the saints at Joppa heard of Peter's being at Lydda and the cure performed there, they sent for Peter immediately, perhaps with no thought of his performing such a miracle as to bring Dorcas back to life. They may have reasoned that they had lost a highly esteemed member of their little group, and that Peter could give them some consolation at this time. There was no telephone, no texting, no email message that they could have sent, and some of the brethren became the messengers to take the word to Peter, to request his presence, and that he not delay. In the city of Jerusalem, a corpse must be buried the same day. But in the smaller cities and villages, they might remain as many as 3 days unburied. Peter's immediate presence was desired before Dorcas would be buried, so he went at once. A sad scene was encountered by Peter as he entered the death chamber. Poor widows and others were lamenting the loss of their friend, and showing the garments which she had made for them. That surely was a noble tribute to the usefulness of her life. Perhaps no wealthy person has ever left monuments which will endure so long, which will reflect so much glory upon his or her character as were left by this humble woman. And even the humblest and poorest of us may to some extent emulate this example and leave some such monuments of love and testimonies of appreciation behind us when we die. One such expression and tribute that some of you may have seen just recently was written by the children of Sister Rachel Alexander and distributed at her funeral. I was impressed and touched when I read the following. Our beloved and devoted mother, Rachel K. Alexander, had an unusual ability to serve others as well as serve her Lord Jesus. She was a truly wonderful combination of Mary and Martha, serving Jesus through devotion and service, both with great sacrifice. She had a quick wit and thorough understanding of the Bible. She was honest, generous, loving, and kind. She treated everyone as a friend. Her most enduring legacy may prove to be the faith she inspired in others, especially in her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. She taught us her faith out of the Bible, but it was the evidence of her faith in the shining testimony of her life that revealed the true power of the Scriptures. Motherhood is hard to define and much harder to fulfill. Our dear mother did it well, and for that we are truly grateful. End of quote. It is a sad end when any, especially of those who have named the name of Christ, die and leave none who sincerely, truly mourn for them and miss them. It testifies to a life that was either selfish or misunderstood. We who are looking forward to the close of our earthly journey should see to it that our lives are spent day by day in such a manner that some will be the happier for them and that our decease will be recognized by some, at least, as a loss. We read that the Apostle Peter kneeled down and prayed. It may have been during this prayer that the conviction came to him of what was going to take place. Prayer is a wonderful means of bringing light into the mind and power into the will. Peter's most notable miracle was the bringing of Dorcas back from the portals of death. Like his other miracle, it was peculiar to that time and for the special purpose of the establishment of the church. Dorcas stands out in the Bible as a woman of good works and acts of charity. While the record of her in the Bible is limited, her name, even today, stands for the charitable use of the needle. Her example has inspired women throughout history to take upon themselves the needs of the poor. Dorcas proved herself to be a doer of the Word of God, not just a mere hearer. What is significant, I believe, about the account of her life is that Dorcas not only thought up ways of relieving the needy, but she also carried out her plans. She knew what she could do, and she did it. She was not only willing to give money to a cause, but she was willing to invest herself in the works of kindness. Dorcas was greatly loved and respected by the church at Joppa. She was content to do all she could to serve God in her little circle of influence. Many women throughout history have formed Dorcas societies, holding humanitarian ideals and engaging in various relief activities. To women throughout the ages, Dorcas has been a fine example of benevolence. Proverbs 31, verse 10, asks this question: Who shall find a virtuous woman? For such a one is more valuable than precious stones. Then the writer goes on to describe the characteristics of such a person. Verses 11 through 31 contain this description, and I feel that they contain many of the characteristics of Dorcas. And I know that it's also been suggested that Proverbs 31 is a description of the church. And I think that's true, and it has many wonderful lessons in it. But in the context of Dorcas, I'd just like to read a few verses that I think are relevant. I'd like to skip down to verse 19 and first read the RSV. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Another translation of verse 19, an English translation, says she reaches for her arms to needful works and applies her hands to the spindle. Continuing on, it says she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. We are told the following in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. When Moses said the Israelites would not believe he was sent by God, the Lord asked him, "What is in thine hand?" God used the staff in Moses' hand to work miracles, freeing Israel from Egypt. Much later, a woman named Dorcas used needle and thread in her hands to sew garments for the brethren in the church. God does not expect great miracles of us, but to use what we have at hand in serving him. In closing, I would like to remind you of some familiar scriptures that I feel are pertinent to a consideration of the life of Dorcas, and they apply to all of the Lord's followers. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." 1 Timothy 2:9-10, "Also that women should adorn themselves modestly and sensibly in seemly apparel, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire, but by good deeds, as befits women who profess religion." 1 Timothy 5:9-10, "Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and she must be well attested for her good deeds as one who has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the feet of the saints, relieved the afflicted, as did Dorcas, and devoted herself to doing good in every way." In Titus 2:7-8, "Show yourself in all respects a model of good deeds, and in your teaching show integrity, gravity, and sound speech that cannot be censored, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say of this." And then lastly, Titus 3:8, "The saying is sure, I desire you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to apply themselves to good deeds. These are excellent and profitable to men. Actually, one more. James 1:27. Dorcas is associated with widows, so I think this is important to remind you of. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. All good soldiers are not in the front lines. They are not always with lions. Some tend the home fires and nourish and comfort others, as Aquila and Priscilla did. Some carry water or send messages of courage to those faint in battle. Some mend the clothes, bind the wounds, and pray for the victory, as Dorcas did. Every campaign needs every body member, and victory will belong to the whole body of Christ. Amen.